In that same issue of Slingshot, there was another interesting piece that could serve to illustrate the problem of stories that, and this is the power story, that disappear feeling humans. In today's discussion, we'll begin an effort to develop a practical people's lexicon and continue our determined probing of the question, why are we so unwilling to demand our right to pursue happiness? By examining this word, capitalism, a useful place to start, I think, as it's the snare that catches most of us as youth seeking the way to move beyond domination when we're young. Quote, capitalism is a closed system of logic. It's only concerned with its function of perpetuating itself by turning things into commodities. Community needs and ecological protection simply aren't built into this logic of perpetual expansion of value, so they are not factored into capitalist decision-making. The logic of capital is self-perpetuating. It aims to rewrite all human activity. This is why we're seeing the rapid privatization of what were once public services, post offices, schools, hospitals, prisons, low-income housing, and more. Under capital, everything is to be transformed into a commodity ripe for speculation. A majority of the globe's resources and labor have been hijacked by this game of creating temporary profits for those who are able to gamble for the highest stakes. But as this system attempts to replace all human relationships with its broken own logic of perpetual growth, all of us are bound to lose. Unquote from Teresa Smith, the speculation chop shop living at the knife's edge, from the current summer 2014 edition of Slingshot, our local anarchist paper here in the Bay Area. She's writing abstractly, partly because a friend had just asked her not to be judgmental of capitalists, quote unquote. They're just following the rules, he said. And the rules seem to be a force floating above and settling in around us impersonally, choking everyone, even capitalists. So how can we all escape it? The question then comes. And the answer seems to be more education, because we're objectively all on the same side, the reasoning goes. And intellectually, it all makes sense. The logic is unshakable, unperturbable. In Does Capitalism Have a Future? One of the quintet finds here, if their hope for a narrower global inequality gap comes to pass, a major source of continued market vitality, or even the foundations for a more egalitarian and prosperous world capitalist order modeled on the post-1945 social democratic recovery in Europe, unquote. A more egalitarian capitalism on its face makes no sense. If the definition's power indoctrinates us with weren't so elastic. Even if we add the words very slightly to more egalitarian, if capitalism is about endless accumulation, it makes no sense. But if we see capitalism as a means for power to achieve total privatization of the globe, and then we add the words and maintain and manage to achieve, such that it reads, capitalism is a means for power to achieve, maintain, and manage total privatization of the globe. Then we will indeed see, if we allow it to become reality, a, quote, Chinese-style state capitalism, unquote, as another of the quintet predicted. So you see the importance of controlling the definition. If we insist on swimming in the definitions handed to us via powers, propaganda, media, and academia mechanisms, we will either or both be told that capitalism continues to exist but has become egalitarian, or that capitalism is gone and we now have socialism. But the reality of our being subjects hasn't changed one bit. So clearly, we have to have our own definitions to progress to freedom. We have to have our own definitions to develop a consensus vision. We have to have our own definitions to see the intermediate objectives for achieving that vision. The logic of capital is, quote unquote, is not self-perpetuating. We are compelled to perpetuate it. Let's stop distancing ourselves from our bodies, please, our lived reality. We don't need the abstractions. We live this reality daily. We are forced to perpetuate it, force being the essence of a class system. We don't need the 7 degrees removal that happens when this reality gets turned over to academia. The 7 degrees of distance from the truth becomes an untruth. So force is the essence of a class system, and we have to know the essence to prepare its opposite. We are compelled because the wage sculpts the reality we live in, or, put more generally, sculpts manufactured scarcity, which compels our obedience. And as far as flipping homes goes, this is the speculation that Teresa Smith uses as metaphor in the article mentioned above. In China, the state does this, flips homes, right? It forces people out of their homes, seizes them, or sometimes just mows them over for the land. Does this make our bodies feel any better if we're the victims of it? When we get on the same side with our bodies, the unitary reality of class, regardless of the particular legitimating ideology it promotes, is exposed. If our analysis doesn't start with our body's truth, isn't rooted in that sense that there is more to feel and be than this, this world is not conclusion, a species stands beyond. If we don't trust that, believe what our bodies tell us, we have no true harbor from which our thought can set sail. This logic of rule is not self-perpetuating. We are carefully taught to perpetuate it by every institution under class. We internalize the logic, quote unquote, through careful crafting of our social environments by statesmen who ensure that we are inclined to view our being trapped with dispassion as necessary, quote unquote, for the successful functioning of a modern society and to compete in the global marketplace. Such pap as this falls readily from all of our lips, but when it comes to freedom, we fall silent.